I want to talk to the young people tonight. Doesn't mean the rest of you can't listen. The Lord might even speak to you and help you as well. But youth revival is coming up, and I want to speak to the young people tonight in preparation for revival. I want our young people to get all that they can out of revival meeting. I want them to know that it's not just an effort that we call youth revival just for the sake of calling it youth revival, but it's a focus for them, specifically a focus for them, to zero in with their relationship, this walk with God. It's so important, so necessary, and we want to focus on that this evening. I want to look at just a few things of some helps and hindrances to spiritual revival or spiritual renewal. Things that you young people can be aware of, focus on for yourselves. The first one that I want to look at, the first segment that I want to look at, has to do with unity and division. There's a lot that the Bible has to say about unity. Paul the Apostle speaks about divisions. We find in the book of Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, or when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. There was something that they were about that phrasing, about that wording there, that gives us an indication that they were one in their minds. They were thinking the same way. They did not have divisions. Now, I've heard some preachers say that they spent 10 days getting things fixed up, getting things straightened around, making apologies and corrections. And I think that may be going out into the imagination, but it's not a bad imagination, because that's what exactly, I believe, what the Bible wants us to, how the Bible wants us to live. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, now in verse number 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. That there be no divisions among you. Now, in Corinthians, there were some of the divisions that Paul specifies, and it seems as though in two different passages that if we stick to the context, the division was over, I'm of Apollos and I am of Paul. We don't need that. They didn't need that. If we are followers of Christ, focus on that. Focus on that. If we love Jesus Christ, if we are servants of Him, His, and we are His disciples, focus on that. In chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks about divisions being that of a carnal person. A child, so to speak, in the spiritual senses. There is among you envying and strife and divisions. And he said, must be a bunch of spiritual babies. I've heard a preacher say pretty strongly in preaching on this particular subject, and I think it was from this passage, simply said pretty strongly that it's time to grow up. Quit the divisions. Now, if we look to see what Jesus had to say about unity versus division, he gets pretty straightforward with it. He tells us in Matthew chapter 5 that if you come to the altar with your spiritual gift and there you remember that there's a problem between you and your brother, let's bring in the whole congregation with this, your brother or your sister, Not your blood brother or sister, but the spiritual blood or the spiritual brothers and sisters of our congregation, of our church family. If you remember that you have a problem, that there is a problem between you and your brother or sister, leave that spiritual gift at the altar and go and first be reconciled to thy brother. Now, I looked up that phrase. I wanted to see specifically what that phrase was saying in all of the translations that I have. And almost every one of them uses the word reconcile. And if they're not using the word reconcile, it's a word very similar to it, meaning exactly what reconcile means. And it's speaking specifically that if there's divisions, if there's problems among us, if there's hard feelings and hurt feelings and situations that are causing tension and strife, we need to get those fixed up. We need to get those patched up. We need to get things forgiven, confessed and forgiven. Sometimes the only way to accomplish that is to take the blame ourselves. That's not the easy thing to do, but sometimes it's the only way to do it. Reconcile. Fix them up. Don't allow problems to exist and undermine the spiritual moving within the body of Christ. We're talking about helps or hindrances. That kind of a thing, fixing things up, is going to help you in spiritual revival or spiritual renewal, or it will hinder you, it'll harm you to gain ground spiritually. The second thing that I want to look at this evening is that of prayer or prayerlessness. Jesus gives us a clear indication that he encourages us to lift our heart in prayer about our needs, whatever our circumstances may be. Luke chapter 11, verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, that's a big word, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And Jesus said, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, what does that word importunity mean? It would indicate to us, it would mean for us that he is encouraging us to go back repeatedly and press the need or press the issue. Continue to seek. Now, if God's already told you no, don't go ask him again. That's not what I'm saying. But if there's a need and there's a burden that you have and there's something that you're praying about and praying for, then continue to seek God and ask him, knock at his door until he gives you an answer. It'll build your spiritual life. It'll build spiritual stamina. It'll build you into a spiritual giant as you continue to press against the strongholds of the enemy that would try to hold you back and hold you down and discourage you. Whatever those cases may be, pray and seek him. Continue to bombard his throne with what those needs are. He said, if you ask, it'll be given. If you seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. And the idea is that there's this need for repetition, the importunity of asking over and over again. In James chapter 4, James records for us, ye have not because ye ask not. You know, there's times that I just really thank God that He answers prayer before I have opportunity to pray the prayer. Right? Caleb was saying that Dan Durkee, President Durkee there at Penview, has made a big deal about their turkey kill last Sunday. And if you haven't seen those pictures, he probably has them on his phone. It really could have been a lot worse than what it was. Nobody injured except for the bird. And he probably didn't, she, whichever one it was, probably didn't know what hit him or what they hit. James is saying, ye have not because ye ask not. Sometimes God answers before we have time to ask, but sometimes we don't have just because we don't ask. That's what he's saying. I have to believe it. It's part of God's word. I have to believe that that's a reality. Sometimes we don't have because we are asking wrongfully. We are asking so that we can be benefited or that we can consume it upon our own desires. So we have to be asking rightfully, rightly. We have to be asking with proper motive. Asking God and Him that He would get all the glory and all the praise. All the credit. All the reward. The third thing, it kind of ties in a little bit with this previous one here. Or it ties in with all of the two previous ones in some ways. And that is humility versus pride. I suppose that we don't have to reiterate this for those of us that are, what, over 20 or over 30. But it probably needs to be talked about a little more to our younger set. Humility and pride. James tells us in chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Now, this morning I talked about submission to Him as well, and last Sunday morning I talked about it as well, and probably the previous Sunday morning I mentioned it as well, that there's something about this surrender to God all the claims of my life. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Now verse number 10 of the same chapter, James is recording for us, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. But there's a verse in between that speaks about both of them. Both of those words. But He giveth more grace, verse number 6, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The humble of heart will find it easier in the first section that we talked about, unity versus divisions. The humble of heart will help in that section. The humble of heart will also help in the section about prayer and prayerlessness. Not for my own glory, but for God's glory. Humility. Humility is not humiliation. Humility is not self-loathing. Humility is not thinking ill of myself. Humility is simply bowing before God the Almighty and say, I can't make it without your help. I can't do it without your strength. I can't, but God can. Humility is yielding ourselves to Him and laying it out to Him and allowing Him to have full reign and full control of my life. Submit yourselves to God. You want to get all that you can out of revival, think about these three different sections, these three different thoughts. And I believe that God will have something great for you. No divisions. Praying, seeking Him. Humbly bow before Him, humility before Him, trusting in Him. Let's continue to seek God for revival meeting this week. Would you stand with me this evening?